Our reading is from Isaiah 40, starting at verse 25. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, continue to speak to us now through your word and through the rest of the service. May we hear you, see you, know you better, and understand more fully what you have for us today. Amen. So how was your 2017 then? Up and down. That's pretty accurate. Anybody had a really good 2017? Okay, yeah, I can, all right. Actually, I thought about this for a while, and I thought, how has 2017 gone for the rest of the world? And I was amazed to find how dangerous this world has become. I shouldn't be amazed. I watch the news like you do, and I see horrendous things on the screen now that we never used to see. But I was amazed also at the natural disasters that are going on around the world. We've had thousands of acres of land burnt in Australia and California, huge fires. We've had floods in Zimbabwe, China, Peru, Chile, Oman, Malaysia, South Thailand, India, Nepal, and Bangladesh, which claimed hundreds of lives. We've had landslides in Democratic Republic of Congo, in Sierra Leone, many more hundreds of lives. Earthquakes in Mexico, Colombia, many more hundreds of lives. And those are just some of the natural disasters that are going on across this world at the moment. Then we've had the terrorist incidents, haven't we? Yeah, in Barcelona, in Las Vegas, in London, in Manchester, in New York and Stockholm, not to mention Iraq and Afghanistan, and not even to consider the wars and the rumors of wars that continue to take lives today. It's a rough world in which we live right now. And the ethnic cleansing of the Rohingya Muslims was a stain on our world today. Somebody suggested that we are facing today a social, financial, political, and religious meltdown. Ouch. There's some evidence for that. But recently also, at the end of last year, we had a report that confirms that Christians are facing the worst persecution in our history. Did you know that? There are more people dying for their faith today than have ever died for their faith. It's an incredible truth. So is it time, I ask, is it time, therefore, to ask, where is our God? You know, the passage that Karen just read so beautifully for us is a wonderful passage. And it comes in Isaiah, this beautiful book. And for the first 39 chapters in Isaiah, those first 39 chapters are prophecies given to Isaiah by God, speaking to the rebellious Jewish nation who continued to do their own thing rather than do what God had commanded them to do. And despite all the prophets, including Isaiah, bringing the messages of God to the people, still they ignored it. Why do people not see God today? Because they're ignoring God today. They don't want God messing with their lives. And the Jewish nation, the special nation of God, were chosen by God to bring the good news of his love to his people, and they themselves had rebelled for years. And they were warned that they would be taken into Babylon. They would be ethnic cleansed into Babylon. And they were. And for years they lived as refugees. And in the chapter 40 onwards, the words of God become encouraging words. Those are the words directed to the people in Babylon, saying, your suffering will come to an end. God has an answer. There is an end to this mess that you've got yourselves into. And you see in verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? This is God. My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. You know, there may be many people justified in saying that because they're going through such hell. And God says, hey, your God is too small. Or that's a summary. He says, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Listen, if he can look after the stars, can't he look after this one? This is only a star. And then he goes on. He says, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord, as we sang earlier, is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. We always put God in human terms, don't we? Oh, he's got tired now. Oh, he's busy with somebody else's problems right now. Oh, we couldn't possibly do that. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God will be the strength and the source of the renewal that we desire as a people. He will do that. He has promised he will do it, and he will do it, no matter how bad things look. No matter how your 2017 was, 2018 could get worse, but God is still in control. He will still bring about his promises in his good time. So do you feel weak and tired and weary? You've had your celebrations of the new year and now you think, oh, crumbs, not another one. Can I cope with another year like 2017, or can I cope with another year, period? Well, turn to God. Turn to him, for he is your hope. And he, the same God who says this of the world, that he flings the stars into the firmament, he, the same God who does that, is able and willing and wanting to have you see him as he is. But it's quite reasonable to get weary and tired. Jesus did. But Jesus knew where to go when he did. He didn't sleep, do you know that? Well, he did, but he didn't sleep everywhere. He would go off into the mountains to be with the Lord. He would wait on his Father for the strength, just as we are to wait on the Father for our strength. The Apostle Paul talks about being a disciple with a number of different images. He talks about being a soldier for Christ. Ephesians 6. He talks about being an athlete. Now, You would be right in saying that I am no athlete, okay? You can say that. I am not an athlete. But I tell you what, I did once jog for a few years. I think I've told you this before. How boring. I think I told you I'd done the half marathon over the All World Bridge when they opened that up. And I didn't stop. Well, I nearly did. I nearly died. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. The fact is, to be a jogger, to be a long distance runner of any kind, as my friend on the drums will tell you, and my friend on the PA will tell you, that to be a long distance runner, you always have to face that no matter how trained you are, no matter how long the distance you train to run, you will come to a stage where there is a wall, where you think, that's it. My legs are jelly. My mind is telling me to stop. Why on earth am I putting myself through this unnecessary pain? And I need to stop now. And I see others stopping. Why shouldn't I be like them? They're sensible. And why am I going on like this? And you have to go through. The good athletes say to you, keep going at that point. Just focus on the finish line and keep going. And the miracle is that when you do that, I am told, I'm not sure I ever made it, but when you do that, I am told, you get a second wind. And suddenly, your legs hit that rhythm that they had before, and suddenly they don't feel pain anymore. You've gone through the pain barrier almost, and you get that second wind, and suddenly you are able to finish the race. Now, I haven't experienced that, but in the sense of the Christian walk, that is a good lesson for us too, to keep pressing on even when everything around us says don't. Keep pressing on and keep hoping and seeing the Lord who is calling you to press on. Because he and he alone will give you that second wind. And you know where the second wind comes from? The Holy Spirit. It is the second wind of the Holy Spirit that comes and lifts you and compels you to the end. We need to see our God for who he is, to know our God for who he is, to understand our God as best we can. And we need to trust him with all our might that he is able, he is willing, he knows what we're going through. All he asks is that we will keep our eyes on him and keep going. And when we do, he will do for us what Isaiah's words here, or God's words through Isaiah. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, it could be translated wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If we will keep our eyes on him. That's the first part. The second thing is we need to keep our eyes on the finishing tape. Do you know that? You know, if you're an athlete, you need to see where you're going. You need to have a clear vision of the destination. And you know what? God wants us to have a picture of the destination, the finishing tape. We mustn't lose sight of our Lord, but we mustn't lose sight either of his purpose, and we'll come to his purpose and the finishing tape after we've sung some more. So we said earlier that as Christians, we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes upon him no matter what distractions there are. And you know, the enemy is about distracting us. The world wants to ridicule us. But our God wants to see us through. And he will do that as we trust him. And as we learn to trust him through studying his word, as we receive his spirit to understand more of what he wants of us and to give us the power to live the good life that he has already prepared for us to live. And as we regularly pray to him, so we will maintain ourselves on the journey that God has put us on. But to keep going, we need still to have that destination. That song is something, isn't it? But you know what? Don't forget it, will you? Because the trouble with us is that we sing these things, we pray these things, we listen to these things, and then we go out and we live another life. And I say that about myself just as much as anyone. When we sing these things and when we believe these things, God wants us to live that life out there. Because it's there that he can shine through us, yeah, even us. You know, the early church was persecuted dreadfully. 60 years after Jesus had gone back into heaven, his church was being massacred. As soon as you said, "I believe in Jesus," you were dead. You lost your job, you lost your home. They were living life on the edge, much as I expect Christians are doing in the Middle East right now. But they were being destroyed. And Jesus brought the Father's message on that Sabbath day to the Apostle John, who'd been excommunicated to Patmos, because they thought that would stop him up, wouldn't it? Not a chance. And there he received a visit from Jesus himself. The risen Christ came to him. Can you imagine that? He could come here. The risen Christ. Do you believe that? I think sometimes we doubt it. I think sometimes we come to church not really believing. Not really. You know, I mean, this is, you know, 2017, 2018 now, John. It took me 6 months to get used to 2017. Now I've got, okay, it's 2018, John, for goodness sakes. That doesn't happen today. Oh, yes, it does. Do you know? It's happening, even in this country. There are certain churches where God is moving powerfully by his Spirit. And it's because the people who've started that church really believe in the gospel that they preach. John Bates, I say it to me in front of you. So when they come to meet together, they're expectant that God is going to meet with them. And we need to get that expectancy so heightened in us that we can't go home until we've met with him. That'd be good, wouldn't it? No Sunday lunch until you've met with the Lord. Yes, I know, I could hear that. My stomach's already started to rumble anyway. Right, let me read to you from Revelation chapter 21. John had received this prophecy on that Sunday, that Sabbath day. And God said to him, "Write it down, because this is for the people, my people, who are being persecuted. They need to see the destination that I intend for them. They're receiving my Spirit, but they need to see where they're going, where the end game is. Because then and then they will be encouraged. They will see the hope that I've set before them." So John is writing faithfully, and in chapter 21 he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" The vision that God had established in the Garden of Eden that was so disrupted will come to be as it will be in the time of Revelation. God will bring not this earth. He's not into recycling. Okay? This earth is going to go. It will be burnt up. Read Peter for this. All right? It will be just rolled up and gone. Because a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem is coming down from where? From heaven. Not man-made. Despite man's ingenuity, God is going to bring into being what he intended in the first place. And what was that? The dwelling of God would be with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. You and I will be part of that new heaven and new earth. God will dwell with us, and we will dwell with him permanently. So get used to him being with us and in us and working through us, because that's our eternity. Hallelujah. Ooh. You see, Paul said, didn't he, to the Philippians, he said, this world is not your resting place. He said, we are citizens of heaven. We are heaven bound, you and I. That's Christ's intention. Not necessarily ours, it's his intention. He called us, and we responded. But there's a tendency here to be a bit triumphalist about this and say, well, that's great, okay. But I have to tell you that on the way through, we are not to live in a bubble and have no connection and no impact on the societies in which we live. That's not it either. Oh no, that would be simple, wouldn't it? That would be dead easy. No, God intends that we make a difference wherever we are, wherever he sends us. We are to travel through wherever he sends us, shedding Christ's love, light, and life for others to see. That's why it's so important that we see him, because how on earth can we send any sort of vision for others if we don't know him and see him? If we don't see him today, what's the point of a historic God who isn't here today? God is history, but as we've learned, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hallelujah. But it's a battle, isn't it? And I promise you, it will be a battle in 2018 too. It's a battle for us against a world that denies God, a flesh, our flesh, because we're fallen human beings, and the devil who still seeks to deceive. And it's exhausting, which is why God will send his Holy Spirit upon us, as we learnt in Isaiah there, so that we might have his wings and strength as we fix our eyes on Jesus, so we suddenly see beyond him the finishing line, the destination that he's prepared for us, that he will take us to. As we have confidence in God's promises and his timing, so we will make it through. And he says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. All the rubbish of today in this world, all the injustices, all the dreadful things that are being said and done in the name of God, which have nothing to do with him, all the hideous, monstrous violence that is being done across the world, that will all be addressed and dealt with. God will deal with that. And we who are designed by God are designed for God and designed to be with God will be fulfilled in his presence in the new heaven and the new earth. Whatever 2018 has to hold, and I pray for you all that it will be a great 2018, that you will see God move in this fellowship, that you may even find yourself a new minister that God has prepared for you. But even if you don't, I pray that God will continue to move in this fellowship in a more powerful way, day by day. And it will happen as you commit yourselves to Him and as you pray. Remember our prayer day? As you pray together, as you seek to follow Him, as you seek to see through the difficult times, the hard times, and they are hard for many of you, God is faithful. God will see you through. God, remember, will give strength to the weary, increase the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In 2018, let's get ready, shall we, to soar on the thermals of God's love this year. Will you seek Him out? Will you follow through? Will you focus on the destination? And will you keep going? Because God wants to do things in you and through you in 2018. Let's pray.